There are many stories of people calling on supernatural entities, usually out of mere curiosity. And if you ever want to do such a thing, be very careful as you don't know who or what might answer your call. You're listening to Stories After Dark, a Philippine true crime and mystery podcast, powered by Anchor and released exclusively on Spotify, with new episodes out every week. These are two stories published on the No Sleep subreddit, with the first one called Why I'll Never Use a Ouija Board Again by Redditor Scared-Crow7774, and the second one called Magdalena, adapted with permission from Redditor Jaikaholic. Lending her voice briefly in this episode is Ethan, host of Tabby Tabby Podcast, a podcast about Philippine folklore, mysteries, paranormal stories, and sometimes foreign myths. You can listen to Tabby Tabby Podcast on Spotify. The first story, Why I'll Never Use a Ouija Board Again. This happened way back when I was in first grade. My family lived in a rural area in the Philippines, and I went to a private school in a small town nearby. There weren't a lot of students. In fact, in my class, there were only 6 of us, including me. We were 3 guys and 3 girls, and we all got along well. This story started in 2004, after a movie titled Spirit of the Glass came out. I only have a vague recollection of the movie now, but I remember that it was about a group of friends playing this game called Spirit of the Glass, which is basically played like a Ouija board. I actually don't think there are any differences between the two other than the name. My friend, we'll call him Mark, suggested that we play Spirit of the Glass one day. Among all of us, Mark was the troublemaker. He was a little too adventurous and got injured a lot, but he was our charismatic leader nonetheless. We created a makeshift Ouija board using pen and paper, and sitting in a circle, we placed 2 fingers each on top of a coin that we were using as a planchette. We began asking the usual questions like, is there a spirit here? What's your name? How did you die? That kind of stuff. I forgot to mention, you have to close your eyes while you play, and you only open it once the planchette has stopped moving. Though for non-yes or no questions, you have to open your eyes to see the answer spelled out letter by letter. Being the skeptic that I am, when our coin moved after we had asked our questions, I chalked it up to Mark or one of my other friends having made the movement. I also assumed it was one of them who was gently rubbing against or running their fingers across my arm. I stood up and called BS. Mark reprimanded me and told me that I had bothered the spirit and that it's now stuck in our world since I had closed the portal by breaking the circle. I sat back down, still not believing Mark. I told them that we should play with our eyes open so I could show them that all of it wasn't real. We asked the question, and I felt someone run their fingers on my arm. But it didn't make sense. My eyes were open. I was looking at my arm and saw none of my friends touch it. I looked up at Mark, who had the exact same look as I did, just wide-eyed and scared. None of us said a word. We all just bolted out of the room. But that wasn't the end of my nightmare. In the days after that happened, my mom would constantly wake me up at night. Once, I got annoyed and asked her why she had woken me up. She said that she could hear me crying. I told her I wasn't, as my face was dry, and there was no indication of me even shedding a tear. When my mom took my blanket away, I asked her why, and she told me she was worried that I'll end up strangling myself, since every time she would go to wake me up, she'd find my blanket wrapped around my neck. It stopped after a week, and my life returned to normal. I haven't used a Ouija board since, and if out of curiosity you want to try it, I would very much advise against it. I still don't believe that ghosts exist, but I believe that demons do. And I'm pretty sure that what followed me home that day we played Spirit of the Glass was a demon. The second story, Magdalena. I'm not much of a writer, but this experience is something I must share to the world. I had just moved to Manila, and having come from rural Philippines, I found the city busier, more crowded, and though I hate to say this, dirty. I moved into my Lola's house where she lived with 2 of her other grandchildren, my cousins Johnny, who was around 11 or 12, and Pauline, who was closer to my age and usually spent her time studying for nursing school. One thing you have to know about Filipino culture is that parents tend to put pressure on their firstborn. A lot of Filipino parents, especially those with poor backgrounds, consider going abroad as a great success and an honor for the family. And this fate is exactly what Pauline's parents had been grooming her to have. Pauline was quiet. She would wave and smile when retreating to her room. And aside from studying, she didn't seem to have any other interests. Not a single friend came to visit her during my stay. She wasn't even weird or anything in that regard. It just seemed like she had devoted all her life to be a nurse, to make her parents proud. Considering things now, I really wish her life would have stayed like that, just studying and trying to make everyone proud. I really do. One day, I was playing the video game Borderlands 2 with Johnny when Pauline came out of her room, all dressed up with makeup and lipstick on.
"How do I look?"
she asked. "Like a clown," little Johnny responded. She turned her gaze to me, wanting feedback from someone her age. You see, it was the first time we'd ever seen her like this. She seemed really excited as she barely went out for something other than going to school. "It's fine," I told her, and I asked her what she was up to. She said that she had been invited to a party and just wanted a break from all the studying. Not 2 seconds later, we heard honking outside the house. I opened the door and I was greeted by a girl in her late 20s, giving me that Hollywood mean girl vibe, and 3 guys in their best attempt to look cool and tough with their leather jackets. And mind you, it's really hot in the Philippines. At the time, I didn't think much of how uncomfortable Pauline looked when she went with them, as we all thought they were close and were just giving her a ride. It was around 1 a.m. when Johnny and I were getting ready for bed. Pauline was supposed to come home an hour ago at this point, so our Lola was starting to become frantic. She tried to reach her phone to no avail. Police were called, but we were told that it was too early to call for a search party, as she had been missing for only a few hours. Our Lola was on her knees, begging and crying, telling the officers that this was not how Pauline acted. The officers turned her away, and all we could do was to let our Lola rest. At 11 a.m., we heard the screeching of tires and the sound of teenagers panicking outside, followed by 3 loud knocks on the door, and then a louder screeching of tires. I was the one who opened the door. I was the one to see Pauline with her bruises everywhere, her dress ripped apart and full of blood. She didn't need to say it. I knew what had happened. Anyone in my shoes would have known. We rushed Pauline to the hospital. Everyone was angry, and shouting and screaming filled the hospital room. But Pauline just sat in bed, quiet and emotionless, almost as if she was unconscious, except for her eyes staring into empty space. It wasn't until the 3rd day when she snapped back into consciousness. She spoke, and though she wouldn't tell us what happened, she didn't really have to. She seemed normal, despite everything that had happened. Despite everything that was taken from her, she seemed to still have her spirit intact. Regardless of how angry we were, the men involved belonged to wealthy families with great influence. Whatever little money our family managed to come up with to bring the case to court, those men's families would just brush off. Pauline's parents weren't rich. Everything they had invested into her education, and what little amount was left was used for her medical fees. Eventually, they gave up. And Pauline also wanted to move on.
"It's time we forgive and forget,"
she said.
"It's time to move forward."
A month later, everything was going back to normal. Pauline took a break from school and just stayed home. It was as if the events from last month never happened. Or so I thought, until I found her crying in her room. I asked her what had happened, and she told me that it had been more than a month since her last period. She begged me to buy pregnancy tests for her. I did, and they all tested positive, indicating pregnancy. Upon hearing this, Pauline just sat on the floor with the same blank stare she had right after the incident, but worse, knowing that her dreams and all her parents' hopes had just been ruined by a single night. Pauline wouldn't speak to anyone. She didn't even eat. She just spent her days in her room. I hated seeing her like that. Her knowing that her dreams of becoming a nurse in the US will never come true seemed to break her more than what those men did to her. She didn't deserve this. I was tasked with bringing food to her room, and every single time she would tell me to go away. But around the fifth or sixth time I did this, I started to listen closely to what was happening in the room after I had left it. It was then that I heard Pauline singing these words.
Magda, Lena, ikaw ang aking tanglaw. Magda, Lena, ako'y di bibitaw.
Translated, the words meant, Magdalena, you're my light. Magdalena, I'll never let you go. The next morning, we heard screaming. I rushed into Pauline's room and I could see nothing but blood. Too much blood, in fact, until I saw her in the corner covered in crimson, shaking in fear. We rushed her to the hospital and we were told that she had had a miscarriage. I thought to myself that it was impossible. A miscarriage shouldn't have that much blood. Everyone, though, drew a sigh of relief, and Pauline was told to spend the next few nights in the hospital with me and Johnny staying with her. Pauline wouldn't sleep, as if the thought of it was terrifying for her. It was on the second night that the nurse came in and gave her something to help her rest. This gave us comfort, knowing that she would finally be able to sleep. And all of us did go to sleep. I woke up a couple of hours later. I checked my phone and it was 2:09 a.m. I felt the room beginning to chill, but I thought nothing of it since I was in an air-conditioned room. Still, the chill felt unnatural. I was going to lie back to sleep when I saw Pauline's eyes staring into mine. I asked her what was wrong, but she wouldn't respond. I found it weird that she wasn't moving. Not a single facial muscle moved except for her eyes. And if her eyes had one emotion at that time, it was fear. I had spent enough time on the No Sleep subreddit to know about sleep paralysis, but that didn't seem to be what was happening to Pauline. She was conscious, and so was I. We locked eyes, and I saw how hers kept moving downward. It wasn't long till I figured that she was trying to signal me to look at the foot of her bed. Slowly but surely, with my heart pounding in terror, I moved my gaze down to the foot of her bed, and that was when I saw it. Or her. She looked like someone wearing very old Filipino garb from, I'd say, the 1800s. Her hands up to her elbow were covered in fresh blood. Luckily, she didn't seem to acknowledge my presence as she slowly floated from the foot of Pauline's bed. I could feel my blood pumping, which was making me dizzy. I turned to look at Pauline, and the last thing I remember seeing was Pauline's eyes moving rapidly, trying to do what the rest of her body apparently couldn't, which was escape. Her parents came in the next day, and I told Lola what had happened. She freaked out and asked me not to stay at her house anymore. Even little Johnny moved back in with his parents, and only Pauline was left in her Lola's care. It wasn't until our Lola's funeral years later that I learned exactly what had happened. I asked Pauline's mom at the funeral how Pauline was, but she would rather not answer the question. We talked about Johnny and a lot of other things. I told her the story of how Pauline sang this weird song. The face of Pauline's mom turned white, and after recovering from her shock, she told me this story. There was an old urban legend about a midwife who lost her newborn by accident when the baby fell from her arms. This drove the midwife insane, and every day she would carry her newborn's dead body and sing a song called Magdalena, believing it to calm the baby. The midwife's husband grew worried and tried to separate her from the infant's corpse. He soon decided to bury their dead child without the midwife's consent. Upon finding out, the midwife was further driven into madness. She would go to work secretly aborting babies instead of safely delivering them. The whole town started to notice the unusually high number of failed pregnancies. When the townsfolk went to the midwife's house to confront her, they found the husband's dead body and the midwife caressing the decaying remains of her child that her husband had buried. The townsfolk executed the midwife, leaving her lying next to her deceased family. And legend has it that women with unexpected or unplanned pregnancies who can't afford to have the baby could sing the song Magdalena, and the midwife would come for the baby at night. Thank you for listening to Stories After Dark, a Spotify exclusive powered by Anchor. This episode was produced by me, Derek, and the stories I narrated, with Ethan lending her voice in the second one, were written by Redditors scared-crow7774 and Jykeaholic. Music is by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com. You can find Ethan's podcast, Tabby Tabby Podcast, on Spotify. Stay tuned next week for a new episode, and to make sure you're updated about the show, please follow Stories After Dark on your Spotify app, as well as on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. If you'd like to see the references used for this episode, suggest cases, send personal stories, or further support the show, you can go to storiesafterdark.ph for more information. All of the links are in the episode description.